Now, the role of pastor is interesting. The word shepherd or shepherds is only used 18 times in the New Testament. Let me give you some of those examples. The word is used when Jesus considered the people of Israel as sheep, when they having no shepherd and they had gone astray. Jesus talked about how many times in the judgment, in the end, people would be separated as sheep and goats by the way a shepherd divides them. Jesus told the disciples how the sheep would scatter when their shepherd was struck, speaking of the way they would scatter when he was crucified. And in John 10, Jesus talks about being the good shepherd and his sheep knowing his voice. In Hebrews, Jesus is called the great shepherd of the sheep, and in Peter, he is the shepherd or the bishop of our souls. And then later in Peter, he is called the chief shepherd. Of all the times that the Bible speaks of shepherds, only one time does the Bible identify pastors as shepherds. And that is the Ephesians 4 passage that we're going to look at now. Ephesians 4, 11, following to 15. He, meaning God, and he gave some apostles and some prophets. He's speaking as he gave different churches. He gave some churches apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now we're going to unpack this so that you get a better understanding of it. You see, in verse 11, the Apostle Paul, that God gave to some churches apostles, he gave to some other churches prophets, and to other churches evangelists, and then to some other churches he gave pastors and teachers. Now the words pastors and teachers here are referring to the same man. The word pastor, as you see it in your Bible, comes from that same Greek word for shepherds in Matthew 9:36, where the Bible says Jesus saw the multitude and was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no poimen, shepherd. In Luke 2, the Bible says that there were in the same fields, in the same country, poimen, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Bottom line is this: when you see the word shepherd in your Bible, you are seeing this same Greek word for shepherds used here in Ephesians 4. So I love Kevin Higgins' definition of shepherding leaders, shepherding pastors. He says this: the shepherd, the leader slash shepherd, placing yourself in service to others so they might become what God wants them to be. And what does God want us to be? Well, God's plan for our lives is that we be transformed into the image of Christ, that we be Christ-like in all our ways, to think like Jesus, to act like him, to hold his values, to feel what he feels, for his passions to be our passions, so that when God looks at you or me, he is seeing merely a reflection of himself. And now God's plan for the pastor, the shepherd leader, is that they help you become that reflection. How do they do that? It's found in verse 12. Again, and some he gave pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Three things here. The first job of the pastor is this perfecting of the saints. He is to perfect the saints, or in more common language, helping others become like Jesus. The word perfecting means to completely adjust in conduct and in character. We're told in the Bible in Romans 3 that our speech, our character, and our conduct need to be adjusted They need to be aligned with God's speech, God's character, God's conduct. The pastor, using the Word of God, the Bible, is to be that aligning tool. His job is to teach. It is to counsel. It is to correct with the intention of helping others become like Jesus. Proverbs tells us that wise sheep will heed teaching, counsel, and correction. Now, what's interesting is how God's shepherds are to accomplish the perfecting of the saints. This is paramount, how they go about doing it, and it's also a huge indication of who should be shepherding in God's flocks. I want to show you 1 Peter 5, 2, and 3. It says this to shepherds: be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. See, not only is the shepherd to feed the flock, but he is to be an example for the flock. If the pastor wants his flock to be loving, then the pastor must live a life that shows people how to love. If the pastor wants the flock to take faith, then the pastor needs to be a man who takes faith in God for things, and people see it. Whether it be humility, patience, and especially joy, the pastor must set the tone. And he isn't to set it with what he says. He's to set the tone with who he is. The Apostle Paul couldn't have raised the bar any higher for pastors when he told his sheep, "Follow me as I follow Christ." So the first job of a pastor is this perfecting of the saints. And why does he perfect the saints? Well, for number two, so they will be ready for this, for the work of the ministry. Now, put this in more common language, equipping others to do what Jesus has for them. Ephesians 4 points out two major points as to ministering or serving God. Look at this verse. This has to do with getting perfected. Okay, we're going to look at verse 14. It says this about getting perfected. Then we will no longer be babies. We will not be tossed about like a ship that the waves carry one way and then another. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to fool us. They make plans and they try any kind of trick to fool people into following the wrong path. No, Paul says. Instead, speak the truth with love. Now, job two for the minister is to see that his sheep are really A and B here, not being easily misled, and that they are speaking the truth in love. Now, I want to focus here not so much on your responsibility, because we're talking about the pastor, but his responsibility. The pastor's first responsibility here in having people be ready for ministry is that they are not easily misled. It's the pastor's job to see that his people are educated in the Word of God on a regular basis. Knowing the Bible is the key to not being misled by every fad or every craze that comes down the pike. For instance, if someone comes to you and tells you spacemen are coming tonight to take you to heaven and you need to wear a special pair of tennis shoes and put a pink triangle or a purple triangle over yourself, you should know that is not in the Word of God. But there were people who did that. If someone tells you that people go to heaven if their number of goods outweigh their number of bads, you should have the Bible teaching under your belt to know that that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. And if someone tries to tell you that Jesus is coming back in the year 2012, whatever, no one can know that, the Bible says. And we should be aware of what the Bible says. Gang, it's the pastor's job to teach these things to you. He is the coach. He's the instructor. He is not the whole team, though. We together are the team, and we together do all that God has assigned that ministry. Do we do all the work that God has designed for Westbridge to do? We, each and every one of us, all have a ministry and a service that God wants us to do. No exceptions. But there was a second ministering characteristic we mentioned, right? An A and a B. The pastor must teach his sheep speaking your truth in love. That means speaking in a way that is best for the person you're ministering to. Not speaking in a way that's easiest for you. That's not how we're called to minister. I have learned that when I need to correct someone, when I need to go to them and correct them, I should spend 10 times at least as much time formulating what I will say to that person opposed to the tiny amount of time it takes me to deliver that correction. I have had my ministry blunders in this area, but I am getting better. And I pray that as you are taught, you will get better at speaking the truth in love also. Okay, let's finish our text. Remember it said he gave some pastors and teachers, again, for number one, the perfecting of the saints, and number two, for the work of the ministry, and then the last phrase, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's put that in street talk. It basically means this: encouraging others to flourish. The word edify means to build up or to grow stronger. The work of the pastor is to make his flock healthier and more productive. And there is an awful lot that goes into making all that happen, as we've just learned in this passage. But for tonight, let me show you one of the measurements I use to gauge the health and effectiveness of a church. And that is the church's ability to raise up new leaders. A church that is growing up and getting stronger will produce new leaders. When I look at Westbridge, I see our setup team run by new leadership, leadership that was cultivated here at Westbridge. That's good. When I look at Westbridge, I see college and career group taking off soon under the leadership of homegrown West Virginians. Fuel, men's group, women's group, broadcast team, all are led with leaders who have emerged from within their own ranks. Two elders were cultivated from the seats you're sitting in. I believe everything is built up and strengthened in direct proportion to the quality of the leadership. Paul is right when he said, God gave pastors to churches to perfect the saints, get them ready for ministry so they can build and grow the church. And tonight, something interesting is happening. Tonight, God is giving Westbridge one more pastor. As Westbridge has grown, and as our number of ministries continue to increase, there has been a pressing need for more shepherding, an associate pastor. Now, it has always been a prayer of mine that Westbridge would grow pastors, and that is exactly what is happening. Tonight, we recognize that one of our own is maturing into this position of shepherd. I am sure if you ask this individual if he is ready for the position, he would say he is not. And that indeed is the answer that all pastors should have. But I have watched this man doing the work of perfecting the saints, helping others become more like Jesus. His counsel and his manner of delivering God's truth is always with the intent of making a person better and more Christ-like. I have watched this man doing the work of preparing sheep for the work of ministry, making sheep that are not easily misled with the Bible truths he uncovers and that he delivers regularly. And I have watched this man doing the work of making others better. I have watched him build teams. I have also watched him repair broken teams. I've seen him manage and maintain existing teams very well. He was the very first candidate I chose to serve on the preaching teaching team 6 years ago. And he has served faithfully and effectively on the elder board for several years now. I've watched God season him through trial and tribulation, and he has come out better and more secure in his allegiance to Jesus each and every time. He has attended Somerset Christian College and is currently earning his Bible degree at Tennessee Temple University. As an associate pastor, what will he do? Well, he will oversee ministry leaders. He will shepherd the flock with counsel and correction. He will expand his teaching responsibilities, and he'll help shape emerging ministries, plus whatever else I come up with that I don't want to do. Not true. I and the rest of the elder team affirm that this person is the right person to be named associate pastor of Westbridge Community Church. So we would like to install him tonight, and we would like you to be a part of it. Scott McRae, would you come down with your wife, Ryan? I'm going to ask Scott, stand right in the front, my friend. Ask Scott's family, his mom, dad, his relatives, his grandfather is here. Would you all come down? You had just as big a hand in making this man who he is today as Westbridge has. So please, come stand with them. All right, Scott, would you face me with Ryan and your family? Scott, inasmuch as you have proclaimed and demonstrated your love, devotion, and allegiance to Christ and his call on your life, we, the elders of Westbridge Community Church, affirm you as possessing the scriptural mandates God has laid forth in his word as a pastor, shepherd of God's church. So if it is your desire today to follow the ministry path presented to you, and if you desire to care for and shepherd the family of God here at Westbridge, helping them become fully functioning followers of God in doctrine and action, and if you desire to live a life of sacrifice and a life of example for those God has placed in your care here at Westbridge, please signify this desire now by saying, I do.
I do.
Well, I would like to ask any and all who would like to pray and lay hands on Scott to come down and join the elders as we do that tonight. You may now turn and face the congregation. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would enter this moment right now in a big way. We pray that the Holy Spirit that you've placed inside of Scott would continue to grow larger and larger as it pushes out the old man in him and it turns into more of the new heart that you placed in him. Lord, I pray that you would help him to always be aware and always attentive to your Spirit's leadings. I pray that he would hear you loud and clear and that he would not only live a life that is pleasing you, but he would live a life that isn't about himself, but it's about others. I pray that you would help him as he continues to do what you've called him to do here in Ephesians 4, that you would help him to equip the saints to get them ready for service, that he would perfect them, showing them what it is to be a fully functioning follower, and that he would always be one who encourages them and leads them on to even a deeper relationship with you. Lord, we pray for Ryan as well, as she will be asked so many times to give information, to give counsel, to give love and support, to be understanding when it's difficult. I pray that you would help her in that. And I pray that you would help us be followers of God who look to our shepherd in awe. That as we want to follow you, we merely need to see the example being lived out for us in Scott. Lord, I now pray that you would make this all that you want it to be. I thank you for the way you have had your hand upon this man for so many years, from being just a child who was raised in a Christian home to where he stands today, wearing a crown that will not be taken away. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. That's for you, man. Need a microphone?
I got a mic.
Oh, you do? Good.
Good. I'm not usually nervous up here, but I am tonight. I'm constantly amazed at how God works. I remember when I was 9, I was down in my grandmother's basement. We were on her couch down there. My grandmother was an incredible prayer warrior. And I was down there, and she asked me to pray with her. So she's praying this prayer, you know. Dear God, you know, watch over Scott. Be with him. And one day make him a pastor. And about that time I did this. No, I don't want to be a pastor. She mentioned it again a couple years later. My sister and I were sitting at her dinner table, and she said the same thing. Oh, Scotty, that's what she called me. Scotty, one day you're going to be a pastor. No, we kind of looked at my sister and we laughed. Through the years, I kind of held on to that. You know, people would ask me. They'd ask me in high school, meet with the counselors, what do you want to be? I don't know. Maybe you want to be a mechanic or a park ranger. I definitely don't want to be a pastor. And then into my 20s, you know, people would ask me, what do you want to do with your life? I don't know. Maybe I'll be a landscaper or a realtor, but I know what I don't want to do. I don't want to be a pastor. Well, little did I realize that all those prayers that my grandmother sent out for me. All that time, God was working in my life, laying something out. And over the years, as I grew closer to him, as I tried to please him, he changed the desires in my heart. He changed them from I'll say, my own selfish needs to being what he wants me to be. I finally stepped back and took a look at my life, and I realized the thing that spoke to my heart the most, the thing that I felt that I had to do, it's right there at the top of my list, is helping others to grab hold and embrace the life-changing effects that Jesus has for them. That's what stirs my heart. It's the opportunity to bring people into a deeper relationship with Christ. And that wasn't there when I was following my own ways. If I could have you know one thing about me tonight, please know that the teaching of God's word and the responsibility that I've been given with being a pastor, that's something that I take very, very seriously. It's up there. And the reason I'm up here tonight is not because I feel qualified at all. It's the reason I'm up here tonight is because God called me, and he brought people into my life to invest in my life even when I didn't see that calling myself. And so I'd like to thank Drew and the leadership team for giving me this responsibility. I want to thank my family for modeling for me over the many years, from grandparents to parents, just what it looks like to have a godly life and a godly family. And I want to thank them for their prayers. And of course, I want to thank Ryan for her endless support of me and for dealing with my disorganization and for allowing me to become what I am today. I want to thank you, my Westbridge family, for allowing me to serve you over the many years, and I look forward to the many years to come of being able to serve you. And above all, I want to thank God for showing me that the thing that I wanted to do absolutely least in this world has become the thing that I want to do the most. Thank you.
Boy, is he long-winded. As I have a journey very similar to Scott's, so many times I was told along the way that I couldn't do it, that I wasn't allowed, that I didn't qualify. And it was something that we had really wanted from Westbridge, to be the kind of place where people could be brought to full flourishing in God. So this thrills me beyond what you can imagine. I'm going to ask the band to come back. I'm going to ask our worship leaders to come back as we close out with one final song. God has done amazing things here, and it's really crazy that, you know, you can get a school on a Saturday night, and God can come to those, to that place, and he can meet with people. He can change lives. He can give people direction. He can take people to where they never dreamed possible, and we pray this is just the start. We want God to continue the work that he's doing in our lives, and we want to say how amazingly good our God is to us. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do the work you started in this place. Let this be a place where people can find out that they are haves, not have-nots. For those, Lord, who have been told they couldn't do, for those who thought that serving you would be a drag, I pray that you'd continue to change their minds. Continue to change their hearts and let them see that you have life to the full waiting for each and every one of us who will simply say, Lord, it's yours. Take my life. Those who give their life away will find it. And I pray that you would help that to continue to be what happens here in this place. I thank you for Scott, Lord. I thank you for the friend that he is to me. I thank you for the amazing way I have seen him move in people's lives here. The way he uses the Holy Spirit to continue to help others find truth and release. I pray that you would bless him and his family for what they are doing with their lives. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us here to continue to be people who are being perfected as saints. People who are getting the old out and living to the new. Saying yes to the promptings that the Spirit gives us each day. And saying no to what our old heart is asking us to do. Help us each, Lord, to find our place in what you call us to do. Whether it be on a setup team, or a pastor, or working in Kidsbridge, or cutting outlines so people can come through the doors and have something to follow their Bible with. Show each of us what it is you want us to do, and then have us get off the bench and serve you. And lastly, Lord, I pray that it would all be done so that each other would be more built up. So that this church would be a place that when you come, you leave better for having rubbed shoulders with the people who have the Holy Spirit in them, and having spent time with Jesus Christ himself. Let that be what Westbridge is about. Take us further. Take us deeper. We promise to ride the wave you send, and we will ride it all the way. Keep us in the center of your will. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week as we go back on the road with Jesus, where he visits a man at night called Nicodemus. You don't want to miss it.